Thank you for listening to this talk given at the Center for Spiritual Living, Midtown, Atlanta.
Thank you, Carla. I don't even need to do my talk. Yep, Tom, you too. Oh, no, I think that give this all to me. That is what my talk is about today, Carla. So that's what's really tremendous. And Bill started us off with that. And here we are starting into our, we're three quarters of the way through this month of prosperity and talking about prosperity and this month of harvest and how just give this all to me. And it's just really wonderful that that's how we start off the day. Just listening to people walk in with this increased abundance program, I overheard somebody has $271 extra in their pocket this week just because their boss thought that, you know, yes, I wasn't expecting that to come into my life, but it came into my life and I'm going to share it with you. I overheard somebody else say that they've got approved for a higher level in their position in their work and everything like that. So they've got moved up in their position and everything like that. And it's not only that, it's the second time this year that's already happened. So it was really unexpected that they got increased in their business and things like that. So that's what this Increase Abundance Month is all about, is aligning ourselves, exactly what Bill said, aligning ourselves with this law that's out there, trying to show up in our lives, and it's just been there the whole time. This increase in our position was there all the time. The $271 was there all the time. We just needed to align our thinking and our consciousness with that to allow it to come in. So I'm hoping you're noticing other things that are happening in your life right now just by being in this program this month. It's really great. It's not too late. If you want to sign up today to be in the program, if you haven't signed up, we'll still have a practitioner assigned to you and be treating for you the rest of this month. So I want you to know that there's a law of prosperity at work in your life right now, whether you know it or not. Some are using the law in a positive direction. Some of you are using it in a negative direction. So you remember last time that I spoke, I got up here and I held the hammer up here and I was just talking about the law of gravity and how that works. And we can use that in a positive way. We can use it in a negative way. I can use it in a positive way and stand upright and be standing here before you. Also, too, I could use it in a negative way and stumble and fall. And the law of gravity works just perfectly and makes me hit my head on the ground just because the way the law is working. So the law is working all the time. So now this month is all about teaching us to stay using the law of prosperity in the positive direction. How do we get that going? Because I've had people on the Increased Income Month call me and say, David, I know I'm supposed to tithe 10% to the center and things like that when I get an increase, but you know what? I've had extra expenses. Is the center going to pay me the 10% on that? I'm using the law in the negative direction. So for those of you that know me well, you know I'm a lawyer. I love speaking about the law. I see how law works in our lives, and that's why I'm a religious science minister, because we talk about the law all the time. And just exactly what Bill said again as well is that he needed to be sitting in Paul's class time after time and learning how to use this teaching in your life in so many different areas. We're kind of teaching one thing just over and over. If we have 52 weeks of the year up here, Paul and I are saying the same talk 52 times. We're talking about this law, this principle that's working in your life. So what if I told you that you have a little magic box with you this very minute that produced whatever you wanted when you opened the lid? You have that box, and if you open that lid, you just got what you wanted. What would happen to your state of consciousness and your thoughts and your feelings? Once you got used to going back to this magic box every time you wanted something, you would have a complete change in your thinking. You wouldn't be fearful about how things are turning out anymore for you because you know you can go back and open up this box. You wouldn't have worry anymore. You wouldn't have lack anymore. You wouldn't have a sense of insecurity. Knowing you could go back to your magic box as often as you needed to eliminate all sense of limitation and strain from your mind. So having no more lack in your life and having what you wanted when you wanted it would lift you out of this plane of material need. You'll start learning that I don't need to be here in this world of effect anymore. And this will make you a better, more useful, and more effective person when you let go of the worry, the doubt, and the insecurity. So a lot of people will come up to me afterwards and say, David, this is nonsense. There is no such thing as a magic box. And I know some of you want a magic pill, but that's a whole nother talk. There is no magic pill either. Well, that magic box and that magic pill, for that matter, does exist right now. The box is a symbol of your consciousness. You have a magic box within your consciousness. And to approach it in the right way with the right idea in mind is to cause the box to open and remove all the want in your life. You've heard me say it before, fear not, little flock, for all I have is thine. Fear not. The principle of demonstrating prosperity is as exact and unalterable as the law of gravity, as the law of algebra, as the law of arithmetic. So I even have done a little bit of a study for you to show how this law is working right here in this room. With the law of arithmetic, we know arithmetic very well. I've given a talk before up here where I say the universe is pregnant with possibility. This room, right here, is pregnant with possibility. You had President Roosevelt one time standing up here on this very stage looking out at the students of medicine, all sitting out here, and he said, there is a cure for polio. There wasn't one at the time, but he knew that this air was pregnant with possibility, and he announced that there's a cure for polio, and he stood right up here on this very stage saying there's a cure for prosperity. The room is pregnant with possibility. That possibility for the cure has been there the whole time. It's been in this room, but it's up to us to align ourselves and bring that into existence. Well, you know what? I just wanted to share this with you just so you can see how religious science works. I love it when you can see how religious science works. In this room right now, there's an infinite number of the amount of number twos flying through the air. There's millions and millions of number twos. They're just flying through the air right here. And so there's a two here, and there's a two there, and there's an infinite number of twos that are flying around the room. But until we apply a principle, the twos are just going to fly around the room. But the minute that I do something and add the principle of multiplication to it, the twos come together and make something greater. The minute you apply a principle and get it to start working in your life, does it show up in your life? Otherwise, the twos will just keep going around the room, not doing anything. So the principle of arithmetic comes in, the twos become something greater all of a sudden just because of one principle's added. But also, if we have all these twos around the room and we add something like worry or doubt, that word in between those two twos is worry. If you have the two, worry, and the two between those, the infinite number of twos that are going around in the room, they're not doing anything much more anymore because there's really not an application that they're following. So we're not getting the fours to show up in our lives anymore because we're not doing the correct principle to get more to show up into our lives. So this is how this principle works in our lives. This principle of prosperity is as exact as that law of multiplication all the time. We all want wealth in one form or another, but financial wealth does not come through special abilities. There's not somebody here that's special, more special than the other person. I know there's some of you in here that think you are, but they're not. Special talents, there's not thrift, because if you know my mother, she's got thrift. There's not influence, there's not environment, there's not favorable conditions or physical effort. All of us have exactly the same. It comes as a result of thinking and acting and believing in a certain way is where this wealth comes from. If you follow the way, consciously or consciously, purposefully or accidentally, you'll get definite results. Just that, like that time sign, you'll get a definite result. Those who don't follow the way will get what they've always gotten, want and lack. It's just like the worry in between those two. It's not a matter of choosing a particular locality, like business is better in the north or in the west or in California or somewhere else. And it's not like it's a line of activity, like I need to be in the dot-com arena for me to be wealthy. It's not a matter of living in Iceland or Florida or Snellville. It's not a matter of being bright or dull, smart or stupid, strong or weak, sickly or well. It's just a matter of doing things in a certain way and sticking to that way through thick or thin, understanding the principle. The potentiality of one is the potentiality of us all. That's what Jesus said too. The potentiality that I have, you too can have, and greater work you can do. That's what I'm trying to show you. If anybody has health, you can have it. If anybody has wealth, you can have it. If anyone has a beautiful home, you can have it. The law of supply is no respecter of persons. Like produces like, since the law of cause and effect works in exactly the same way for all people at all times. Anybody who follows the law will infallibly demonstrate an abundant supply. If this very moment you're disheartened with your current financial condition or disappointed with your job or discouraged or depressed, or if you don't know which way to turn, or you may feel you don't have the right connections and I don't have the right prospects and I don't have the right opportunities or money, then guess what? You're using this law in the wrong direction. If you sit there and say, I don't have the right opportunities, how many of you agree that it takes money to make money? And if you raise your hand, that's what the law works perfectly. It takes money to make money. But believe it or not, you can take this heir that's pregnant with possibility and make money without starting off with money. You start off with an idea first. That's how it starts off. So then we start using this law in a positive direction when we catch ourselves doing that, when we sit there and say, oh, I don't have the right opportunities, I'm too old, I'm too young, I didn't get the right degree. So when you start turning that around, then this law of abundance is going to start turning around in your life as well. If you apply the principle and act in accordance with the law, your whole situation is going to begin to improve. If you need money, you're going to get it. If you're in the wrong position, you're going to find the right one. So what is it that this works and can turn all of this around? And it's purely consciousness. It's consciousness. Old religious science ministers, and I can hear Raymond Charles Barker on his tapes, he talks about it's mind. It is all mind. And I can't quite do it, but somehow mind has three syllables. He goes, it's in mind that this happens. So I'll use consciousness. I'll get all three syllables out in that one. It's consciousness. Consciousness is your life. Consciousness is the creative life of God. Consciousness is what you have, what you are, what you work. You're working consciousness right now. Consciousness is the determining factor of every circumstance, every experience, every condition of your life. This means it decides whether you are successful or unsuccessful, rich or poor, happy or sad, strong or weak, peaceful or discordant. For all of this is but the expression of your consciousness of the universe in which you live. Are you conscious of the universe in which you live? Are you conscious that the air in this room is pregnant with possibility and it's just waiting for you to apply a principle to it? Life is a state of consciousness. When you've said that, you've said everything that can possibly be said. I love this. When I first came to this teaching, my life was pretty much a mess. I was low on money. I was low on self-esteem. I was low on dates. And when Kennedy Schultz said, whatever your experience is what you have in consciousness, I wanted to walk out the doors. He's telling me it was all my fault why you don't have a date, why you don't have all these things in your life. He was making me to blame for all the lowliness I had in my life. Didn't he know that the economy was bad? Didn't he know all the good ones were taken? He said, David, thought is creative, and what you have in your world at this particular moment is simply an image of that which you have in your consciousness. What you have in your consciousness. Thoughts are things. It first starts as a thought and turns into a thing. So when you have those low on money, low on self-esteem, no dates, it first started off with a consciousness of not having those things. So life is a state of consciousness. This is how a poor man becomes rich. This is how a sick man becomes well. This is when you start to understand what it means to never want again. And it was Saint Paul, that said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's all that it means. This is how you chafe your life from one of bondage to freedom, by changing your thought and keeping it changed. There's a quote from a poet, author of the late 1800s, Thomas Mason, who said this, most people's consciousness is like an apple in which the possibility of decay is always present, in which indeed there are many soft spots. The problem is to keep it sound, not for any perverted or selfish purpose, but for the innate priori intuitive longing for oneness with God. That's why they want to preserve the perfectiveness of that. So how do we keep our consciousness sound? How do we keep it away from a soft spot or a possibility of decay happening in our consciousness? That soft spot could be a thought of bankruptcy or economic disaster. You do it by changing your mind and keeping it changed. That's how you protect it. That's how you protect it. The Bible tells us that a person is what he thinks in his heart, what he thinks of in his own consciousness. So if you tell me you're out of money, you're out of things, or you have a small salary, I say, look at your consciousness. Put things right there. Start in the consciousness and start with the thinking. Find the offending thought or belief and reverse it. Change your thought out of it and keep it changed into something better. Speak the word with conviction and acceptance. Put it into what you expect to take out. So put in your words of what you expect to take out. It was Ernest Holmes that said, the founder of religious science, that said, it's not what this law gives you, it's what you take out. It's just like this room pregnant with possibility, with all the twos around here. They're just everywhere. They're everywhere. But what are you taking out of it? It's up to you to take it out of what's going on. So what are you taking out of consciousness? Emmett Fox said, the word is creative, and the strongest and most creative word is, I am. I am. Whenever you say I am, you're calling upon the universe to do something for you, and it's going to do it. Whenever you say I am, you're drawing a check upon the universe. It will be honored and cashed sooner or later, and the proceeds will go to you. If you say I am tired, sick, I'm poor, I'm fed up, then you're drawing checks for future trouble and limitation. But when you say, I am divine life, I am divine truth, I am divine abundance, I am divine freedom, you're drawing from the same bank, from the same check, and it will be honored with health and plenty. So apply this principle with the affirmation, I am prosperity. So whenever you say all the I ams, follow it with I am prosperity, and you're going to see how wealth comes into your affairs. You build this prosperity consciousness by the things you think and do all day long. You can't just do that like we're doing our affirmations now, and we're doing them twice a day. You can't just do it in the morning and turn around and say all negative things throughout the rest of the day, and then come back home and read your prosperity thing again. You need to do this all day long. Catch what you're thinking about all day long. As a man thinketh, so he is in his circumstances. They've been saying this for thousands of years, and here we sit, wondering why we're sitting in the same circumstances that we're sitting in. So have you ever seen a person make a fortune, then lose it, then turn around and make another fortune? Donald Trump comes to mind. We've seen him do that. Why can he make the second fortune faster than that of a person who never had a fortune? It's because his consciousness is already greased in that direction. He knows how to make a fortune already, and when he loses it, he turns around and he knows how to use this law of I am prosperity exactly the same way and turn it right around. For those of you that have been in my class, you hear me tell the story of I'm a partner in the law firm, and I worked up all the way to be a partner in the law firm, and I was excited. I got a letter about being a partner in the law firm, like at the end of the year. It was like January, starting January, you're a partner in the law firm. And I went through the year, and I was like, yeah, this is great being a partner. Then the week of December 25th through the 30th, that I get a letter at the end of the year saying, you're no longer a partner with the firm. We're changing the way things are set up here. And I didn't open that letter. They gave it to me right when I was leaving work around 6 o'clock, and I didn't open that letter till about 10 p.m. that night. Did I finally open the letter, and I started cussing and fuming, and I was really mad. How can this happen? How can this happen? And it was literally 12 hours later, that I start realizing, stop focusing on that. I've learned this from Paul and Kennedy. Stop focusing on that. You created your partnership. You're going to create something better than this partnership. You're going to create something better than this partnership and something greater. Well, sure enough, I'm still with that same firm, and something better has come out of that. But I am the one that had to grab my consciousness, because I could have walked in that very next day saying, okay, if I'm not worthy of partnership, then let me go ahead and move on to where I am worthy of partnership. I knew something better. I knew it had nothing to do with them. and everything to do with me and my consciousness. My consciousness was already greased in that direction. So another thing that happened in my law firm, for those of you that know me, I'm a real estate closing attorney, and I had two realtors that were married, and they had had enough with Atlanta. They'd made enough money, and they decided they were going to sell everything, and they moved to retire in Hawaii. Well, retirement was not for them. Paul, retirement was not for them. So they moved back to Atlanta a year later. So they gave up everything. They were with Harry Norman. They sold multi-million dollar homes with Harry Norman and everything like that. They come back to Atlanta. Do they have to start over from scratch and start selling $100,000 homes and then $200,000 homes? No. Without a blink of an eye, did they step back into selling multi-million dollar houses? Why? Their consciousness was greased in that direction, ready to make that amount of sell those homes like that. And even take out your Science of Mind textbook, because Ernest Holmes sat there and he goes through that same story about somebody. You have four people that lose their job. Somebody makes $10,000 a year, $20,000 a year, $50,000 a year, and $100,000 a year. And what do? When they've lost their jobs, is they go out and look for their jobs that they wanted to replace. And guess what? The $10,000 a year person looks for a $10,000 a year job. The $20,000 looks for a $20,000 a year job. The $50,000 looks for a $50,000, and the $100,000 looks for a $100,000. Only because they can't stretch their mind to this new understanding of themselves, that the $10,000 salary was only set in their mind, not by their bosses. Their minds were greased in that direction. And so the universe just says, okay, you left a $10,000 job, you're looking for another $10,000 job, you'll have a beautiful $10,000 job a year. So I like that even Ernest Holmes says that same thing about our mind being greased. One of the reasons people fail to demonstrate sufficient income is they imagine something other than God as their source of supply. If I thought my boss was my source of supply, I would have freaked out about everything was going there. She is not my source of supply. If you do not understand this, you're going to try to change all your outer circumstances. I'd look for another boss without changing my consciousness. I know where my supply comes from. My supply comes from this room pregnant with possibility. This room is pregnant with wealth. This room is pregnant with salary, all wanting to come to me. It's all coming to me. That's what I want, and I need to realize that. So we need to realize I of my own self can do nothing. It's the Father within me doeth the work. If you don't like the Bible quotes, understand what's happening. My consciousness, my magic box that I have, that's everything that does this perfect work. Metaphysics teaches you one thing, how to be a good insulator through which the power will flow. That's all that we are. We're just an insulator for how the power of the universe is to flow through us. And we need to protect ourselves with that. So let me repeat that. Metaphysics teaches you one thing, how to be a good insulator through which the power will flow. You are the conduit which all of life flows. Your business is with God and nothing else matters. If you receive, if you fail to receive the riches that are rightfully yours, guess what? You're in God's way. God is trying to say, all that I have is thine. All that I have is thine. And if you remember my last talk where I was talking about how there needs to be a positive and a negative for the return to come out, the negative meaning just you need to be receptive of it. So the positive is saying I want to use that multiplication sign. I want to get the twos together, so let me use a principle. Let me have it come into my life. So there's a four out there, but I'm sitting here going, I'm not worthy of fours. I'm not worthy of increased abundance. I'm not worthy of that increased position or something like that. So if you're not receiving, you're in God's way. That's all. We're just not allowing it to come out. There is some sort of impediment in the way. And it was Emerson who said, get your bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits. Get your bloated nothingness out of the divine circuits are using you as an insulator. You want to put out, this is what I think is rich to me. The universe says, yes, that's rich. Come back to you. But if there's an impediment along the way, if there's a bloated nothingness, like I'm not worthy or I can't make that or I don't have the right degree, that's how it works. That's how it works. So how do you repair the circuit? By filling the consciousness with the thought of God, truth. Isaiah says, enlarge the place of your tent, which is consciousness. Enlarge your consciousness. Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out and wide open. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Really get this higher understanding and consciousness in mind. If your consciousness is small, you will have small success and small income. You will experience smallness in your life. Again, St. Paul said, be not conformed to this world of effect, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, thinking more on God. It was Goethe that said, the highest and most excellent thing in man is formless, and we should guard against giving it shape in anything less than noble dress. Let me repeat that. The highest and most excellent thing in man is formless, and we should guard against giving it shape in anything less than noble dress. This is just to say that we have within us the capacity to receive larger and greater gifts. Now, we know what Jesus meant when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. If you understand what's going on in the Bible and what they were saying was really a Greek interpretation of ouranos, meaning heaven. The Greek word for heaven is ouranos, meaning expansion, enlargement, increase, multiplication, pushing out. Seek ye first the kingdom of expansion. Seek ye first the kingdom of enlargement is what that word means. So seek that and all things will be added. Elevate your mind and multiply your fruit. How did Jesus feed the 5,000? By this same law of expansion. How did Elisha increase the widow's oil and save her sons? By this law of expansion, setting up a greater tent, setting up a greater understanding of consciousness. And where is this kingdom of heaven or this kingdom of consciousness at? This kingdom of expansion? Right here. It's right here. And how does it expand? By recognition, by realization. In classes, we learn that you can come to this whole sea of life and you can come with a thimble and take a thimble of the sea with you and walk away, or you can take buckets and wheelbarrows full. The sea of life doesn't care how much you take, but it's up to us to get there and go and do the taking. What are we taking out of consciousness? What are we taking out of this sea of life? It doesn't care what we take. So we need to expand our consciousness of just getting a thimble full of life into something greater. Another thing that's going to increase that thimble full into something greater is praise. When you start praising everything that you have, and I think Bill mentioned that as well, when you start praising, that which you praise will increase. There's a law in there. Let all the people praise thee, then shall the earth yield her increase. So we can enlarge our consciousness of supply by blessing and praising what we have. Just yesterday morning, I was reading the New York Times about giving praise for your bed. Just give praise for your bed. Because you know what? More than half the world did not wake up in a bed this morning. More than half the world did not wake up in a bed. And we just wake up saying, oh, you know, we're kind of grumpy and don't even take that. But praise your bed. So praise for something as simple as a bed starts the increase in consciousness. So I leave you this morning with 4 points I've covered this morning. And the four are the importance of changing consciousness, the importance of keeping God in the forefront of your consciousness, the importance of enlarging consciousness, and the importance of praise. This law works absolutely beautiful. Now, I don't want you to walk out of here thinking that you need to walk out with 100% certainty that this law of increase, this law of prosperity is going to work in my life. It was a great book that came out just probably 10 years ago. I think Paul gave that to me. And it was Love and Law. Somebody had grabbed together some writings of Ernest Holmes and they pulled it together in a book called Love and Law. And it's absolutely spectacular, but on one of those pages did it say, your belief only needs to hit the 51 percentile. So what I'm telling you today is you don't need to understand and think that law of increase works 100%. And if you can't get that belief or that faith that it works 100%, then I'm not even going to try it. I'm not even going to do it. However, when I was told that all I need is the 51%, I was like, I can garner enough faith to get up to the 51% for that to start working. So I will do that. You can do that too. Get up to that 51%. The minute that you get to that 51%, does your brain start working and showing up with everything in your life? So we have knowledge of this magic box. We may get worried or fearful. We may turn to this person or that person. We may consider this possibility or that possibility. And we can just get all worn out by all that. But all the time we need to realize there's this magic box. Every condition, every experience of life is the result of a mental attitude. We can only do what we think we can do. We can only be what we think we can be. We can only have what we think we can have. What we do, what we are, what we have, all depend on what we think. We can never express anything that we do not first have in mind. The secret of all power, all success, all riches is in first thinking powerful thoughts, successful thoughts, thoughts of wealth and supply. And when we think this way, we are rich. Rich not only in our outer world, but richer in here as well. This magic box, this idea of it all being locked up here in consciousness, our prosperous life is locked right up in here, is wonderful. And so are you, and so it is. So I know I've talked to you once again about another law, but it's just the application of it. Like I said, there's an infinite number of twos floating around this room. There's an infinite number of prosperity and abundance flowing around in this room right now, but a principle needs to be applied to it to have it come forth and show up in our lives. And so it's just that recognition. So let's know this together as we come together at the end of this, is that, yes, we truly understand this universal law. It's a law for every single one of us. It's not a law for even the people that are in here. It's a law that's working at the farthest reaches of the universe, and it's working right here in this room with each one of us. It's on this day that we announce the law of increase in prosperity. We understand how it's a prosperous universe, and our lives are prosperous this very moment. By us announcing the principle, do we bring the air that's pregnant with possibility into our world of effect? We birth prosperity in our lives. It shows up as increases in money. It shows up as improvements in our careers and we get promoted. It shows up in our bodily health. It shows up in a more loving relationship than we've ever had before. It's been there the whole time. It's waiting for us to take it out. It's on this day that we realize our position is taking out of consciousness all that's there in the invisible supply. We're the ones that bring it forward into this plane of existence. It comes, it does a good and perfect work, and it goes back to the nothingness from which it came. But at that point, we use the principle again and bring something new, something more, something greater into our lives. This is how this principle works, day in, day out, for each one of us. We let go of our old selves. We let go of the old shells that we've been living in. We let go of the old ideas that we've had about our careers. We let go of all of that and understand that all of that comes from this magic box, this consciousness that each one of us has, the true consciousness that we have, and we align ourselves, our individual consciousness, with the universal consciousness. For at the universal level, there is abundance. There is infinite amount of supply. There is everything that ever we ever wanted is there. So we announce it on this day, and when we walk out of these doors in 10 minutes, our lives will be changed because now we know how perfectly, wonderfully, just as mathematics works, that this law comes into our world of effect in all these things. We give great thanks for this understanding when we release this word to law, that we are as sure of it as ever, and so it is.